That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Fourth quarter is here. John Audius with you. Oregon leads Wisconsin 58-42. 16-point lead for the Ducks on their home court. They've led by as many as 23. Before we continue, let's pause 10 seconds for a station ID, 10 for a legal ID, and you're listening to Wisconsin Women's Basketball.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Great start for the Badgers in quarter number four. A 7-0 run to the start of the quarter. Wisconsin outscoring the Ducks 7-0, and they've brought it down to 16. After that 58-35 third quarter 23-point lead for Oregon. Badgers in this quarter, 2 of 4 from the floor with 7. Oregon 0 of 3. Still a lot of time left for Wisconsin. This quick start in the fourth has given them a little bit of hope here, down by 16. About 7 minutes or so to go in this one. 12 points for Natalie Leitzinger. She leads Wisconsin in scoring, followed by Carter McCray, who has 9. Back to the action. Che has it. Left baseline, kicking it out. Here's a three ball, went halfway down, missed by Fizzo, popped out. Rebounded by the Badgers. Ronnie, front court. Gives it up to Leitzinger on the left. Leitzinger leaves it over for Jimenez, high right side. 6:36 and counting to go in the fourth. Here's Jimenez, a drive, right baseline, has some space, down low, double team, wraparound pass stolen. Fizzo comes out of there with the steal. Oregon, front court, Fizzo out on top. Fizzo, near half of the court, near the right sideline. Finds Falatea. Out to the left side, it's Kelly. Back on top, Falatea. Return pass, Kelly has a left wing. Around McCray, bouncing off to the right. Here is a drive, there is a whistle with 2 on the shot clock and a double dribble. It's called against Fizzo, it'll be a Wisconsin ball. Down by 16. Still on a 7-0 start to the fourth quarter, but we're about approaching the midway point of the fourth quarter. Wisconsin needs some points. Jimenez, just right of center, dribbling to her left, looking back to her right, gives it over to Porter. Now Williams, double team, mid-block right, and a pass to the corner for Leitzinger. And she lost it out of bounds on the baseline. Turnover, Wisconsin. That is 22 turnovers for the Badgers today. Che, baseline right. Ducks work it around to the left side now, where Muhammad has it. Lobs to Che, right shoulder turn up with the left hand. Missed it over Williams and got the rebound right back and put it up and in for 2. Che staying with it, 60-42 Oregon. Approaching 5 minutes to go. First basket of the fourth quarter for the Ducks. By the way, those Badgers, 22 turnovers, a season high. Here is Ronnie Porter for 3 in the right corner. No. Rebound ripped down by Muhammad. 4:50 to go in this game. And a travel call against Oregon. Ducks give it right back. 13 turnovers for Oregon today. 60-42. See what Wisconsin can do with it on offense. Here's Jimenez, pull up mid-range, left side, it's in. Jimenez with a season-high scoring today. That jumper gives Jimenez 7 points. Here's Che backing down Williams. Low block left, up and in. Now Che all of a sudden going to work for Oregon. 62-44. Che with 8 points on 3 of 9 shooting. Three Ducks are in double figures. Muhammad with 12, Falatea and Kelly each with 10. 62-44. Ducks with the lead. Badgers have the basketball. 4 minutes to go in this game. Here's Leitzinger outside right, driving in from the right side. Finds McCray. Short corner jumper on the right. Skims off the rim. No good. Rebounded by the Ducks. Kelly has it. Kelly pushes with the pass into the front court. Alatea to Che. Free throw line. Che back out. Kelly. Leitzinger will defend. Asks for the screen. Muhammad sets it. Bounce to the right wing. Fizo with it. Williams on her. Shot clock's approaching 10 seconds to go. Now Che catches. Deep left side. Hook shot with the left hand. No good. Che fighting for it. She got it back. Ripped down and a jump ball. Ripped away by McCray. Jump ball possession arrow to Oregon. 62-44 Ducks over the Badgers. Now we got about 3.5 minutes to go in this one. Hey, reminder coming up on the postgame show. We'll go through these final stats. Hear from head coach Marissa Mosley. Also listen to some of the highlights from today's game. As the Badgers running out of time now against Oregon here this afternoon. Wisconsin has lost two straight Big Ten games coming into today. They're at 44 points right now with 3:15 to go. This would be a new season low. Or previous season low, last game 50 against Minnesota. Here's a jumper, left baseline. No, but last touch by Wisconsin. Jumper was missed by Mevius. Now the Badgers have some new faces in there, including Gracie Gresh, freshman from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Kelly off the inbounds, jumper popped out, no good. Gresh rips it down for the Badgers. Here comes Gresh with a pass to Jimenez up the left sideline. 62-44. Oregon on top. Douglas tries a baseline drive. Runs into Che. Lost the ball, but it was last off of Che. .257 to go in this game. Oregon, by the way, limiting opponents to about 60 points per game. Here is Gresh from the left side. Had a good look at it. Missed it. Then it goes out of bounds. Last touch, Wisconsin. Yeah, no, the Ducks allowing 60 points per game. That's 10th in the Big Ten. So far, they've given up 44 to the Badgers today. Mevius on a drive, kicking it out to Falatea. Ducks work it inside to Che. On Williams, right shoulder turn, left hand hook, halfway down and popped out. Rebounded by Williams. Here's Jimenez, front court. Jimenez brings it back out as she penetrated. Now has it with the right hand dribble. Defended by Mevius. Over to Douglas, ball fake around Che. Scooping layup will go for Hallie Douglas. There's the 6'1 grad student from Lake Forest, Illinois. Douglas scores about 4 per game. She's at 5 today. 62-46, Oregon, approaching 2 minutes to go in the game. Ducks leading, a whistle. Here's a three. That's going to be no good. Whistle before then. Wisconsin has trailed by as many as 23 points in this game. Here's Jimenez into the front court for Wisconsin. Jimenez, right side. Badgers down 16. Double team on Williams. Jump pass off to the left. Here's Gress with some space on a drive left baseline. Kicking it to Kron. Left side three. It's good. Kron connects again. Second three-point make of the afternoon for Kron. And it's 62-49. 90 seconds to go in this game, however. All Oregon. Here is Mevius. A three-pointer on the left, responding to the Badgers' Kron. Yeah, a little bit of a three-point contest going out there right now. Let's see if the Badgers can get one back. 65-49, approaching a minute to play in this game. All Oregon. Here's a drive by Jimenez. Douglas just left of the wheel for three, and it's in.
Number 10, Hallie Douglas.
65-52. We'll see if Oregon can come back. We've had three straight threes here by each side. Two by the Badgers, one by Oregon. Alatea off to Kelly, 43 seconds to go. To the corner, Mevius. How about a three right there? And that one is good. 68-52. Badgers hit a three. Oregon came back with a three. Wisconsin with a Douglas three. And Mevius comes back with another three. But 30 seconds to go in this one. All Oregon. Here's Williams at the top of the key. One dribble, looking for somewhere to go. Finds Douglas outside right. Douglas on a drive. And a foul reach in against Oregon with about 15 seconds to go in this game.
Amina Muhammad, her second foul of the game. She's foul number four in the quarter.
68-52, Oregon. Badgers inbound to Gresh, bouncing for Douglas, top of the key. Now to Williams, back to Halley, kick out Gresh, a ball fake, down to 5 seconds. Gresh off to the left, Jimenez driving with two, with one, lost the basketball. Horn sounds and Oregon defends its home court this afternoon. All Ducks, they never trailed in this one. And Oregon defeats Wisconsin 68-52. 16-point win for the Ducks, and the Badgers fall to 1-3 in Big Ten play. Now 10-5 this season are the Badgers. Oregon improves to 11-4 and now evens its Big Ten record at 2-2. First meeting since 2009 between these two teams, and Oregon picks up the win. Well, coming up on the postgame show, we will go through these numbers, through these stats, and up next we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
This season, Abbott and the Big Ten teamed up to host the first ever conference-wide blood donation competition to help fight the greatest blood shortage in the generation. The We Give Blood Drive helps save as many as 60,000 lives thanks to alumni, students, and Badger fans like you. But the need for blood donations doesn't stop here. Go to BigTen.org/Abbott to sign up to give blood and save lives. Abbott, proud partner of the Big Ten Conference and Wisconsin Athletics.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
.68-52 final score. Oregon beats Wisconsin this afternoon. Now joined by Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley, who joins us from Eugene, Oregon. Coach, tough one for you and your team today, and I know you would have wanted more from Sarah Williams. Can you kind of talk about her 3 points today in 30 minutes and what was working, I guess, for Oregon to limit her?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they really doubled up on her, and we tried to, you know, move around in different ways. Obviously, they've got a lot of size, and they were able to kind of cycle in different posts on her. And I was trying to move around a little bit, but I've got to get back to the drawing board and help that kid be able to score more points.
Yeah. Well, how else did you see the game play out, in your opinion, today?
I think that there were stretches where we did what we needed to do defensively, but it was like we would have empty possessions coming back down. So we'd get a stop, and then we'd have an empty possession. And, you know, that can be tough, and then you miss a shot, and then they come down and they hit a three or, you know, get to the free throw line. And so I just think it was a little bit of a grind. I felt like my kids kept fighting, but we just, you know, we didn't necessarily take advantage of the opportunities that we had.
So just kind of looking statistically, you know, you shoot 40% from the floor. Oregon shoots 49%. I know you guys made some threes today, 8 3-pointers. What would you say is the one or two positives you take away from this one?
Well, I think that, you know, we're still growing this program. We're still continuing to learn how to play together. And obviously playing on the road is always tough. But the one thing that, you know, we try to hang our hat on is that we're going to continue to compete for 40 minutes. And so I think that's something that, we absolutely have to continue to do. And you know, we didn't stop trying to execute and find different ways to score buckets.
All right. Thank you so much for the time, Coach. Yep, that's head coach Marissa Mosley. And to reemphasize her point there, playing for a full 40 minutes, that's exactly what Wisconsin did in that fourth quarter. Badgers outscored the Ducks 17-10 in the fourth quarter. But it was too much Oregon today as the Ducks beat the Badgers 68-52. Let's take another break. When we come back, a look at the numbers. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities, so it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's 68-52, the final score. Let's take a break, come back, and look at the individual numbers next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
August was born 3 pounds, 9.8 ounces. When I first saw him, it was a whole range of emotions. There's stuff I still want to do. Being a young dad, it's not giving up. It's shifting. I look through his eyes. I can envision a whole future with him already. To throw the first football to him, give him ice cream for the first time. My life is now devoted to his life.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Oregon defeats Wisconsin. The Badgers now 10-5 this season. They've lost three straight games, 1-3 in Big Ten play, and The last three Big Ten games have had outputs of 52 and a loss to Indiana, 50 and a loss to Minnesota, and 52 here this afternoon in the loss to Oregon. And honestly, Wisconsin probably would have been under 50 if not for some late threes in this game. Both teams kind of hitting two late threes each. They went back and forth alternating their three-point makes. If not, Wisconsin might have been a season low. And instead, it's a 52-point scored in a 16-point loss. But let's take a look at the individual numbers. Four players for Oregon in double figures, led by Mebius, who had 14 points, 3 of 3 from downtown in 27 minutes. 12 points from Muhammad, 5 of 7 from the floor. Falatea had 10 points and 2 3-pointers made with a couple of assists. And 10 points for Deja Kelly on 5 of 12 shooting, a team-high 6 rebounds and a team-best 4 assists from Kelly today. 8 points for Che, who was 3 of 11 with 4 rebounds. 7 points from Fizo, who was 2 of 4 from the floor. 4 points from Whitfield, 3 points from Rambis. Wisconsin had just one player in double figures this afternoon, and it was Natalie Leitzinger. Leitzinger goes for 12 points today. Leitzinger was 4 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 4 from downtown with 3 rebounds in 27 minutes. 9 points from McCray, just misses out on double figures. 6 rebounds for McCray in 22 minutes. After that, the scoring load falls to 8 for Hallie Douglas, who was 2 of 2 from downtown, a couple of rebounds, 3 of 4 from the floor. Deanna Jimenez, a season-high 7 points today in 18 minutes of action with 2 assists. 6 points from Lily Cron. She made 2 3-pointers, 2 of 3 from outside the 3-point arc. Tess Myers had 3 points. And Sarah Williams had 3 points for Wisconsin. Williams' streak of 5 straight double-doubles is done after today, and her streak of 6 straight games in double figures is also done. It's a season low. 3 points from Sarah Williams, and Williams just took 2 shots today. She was hampered by fouls, finished with 4, but she played 30 minutes. Also, 8 rebounds, which was a team best for Williams. She also defensively got a couple of blocks. So she is now sole possession, second place all-time in the career blocks list for Wisconsin. 2 points from Spasovsky and 2 points from Porter, who handed out a team-high 6 assists and also was 0 of 6 from the floor. So Williams and Porter combined for 5 of the 52. And once again, just reiterating what Marissa Mosley told me here after the game, just that they need to do a better job of finding Sarah Williams' shots. She had 2 attempts, season low 3 points. Badgers fall 68-52. One more break, come back and listen to some of the highlights from this one, then we'll wrap it up. Badgers fall in Eugene, Oregon. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Post-game show wrapping up as Wisconsin falls on the road to Oregon, 68-52. Wisconsin now 10-5 overall and 1-3 in Big Ten play. The Badgers have lost three in a row after winning five straight entering Big Ten play back on December 28th. It was a quick start for Oregon today. Big fourth quarter for the Badgers, but once again they fall by 16. Let's take a listen to some of the sounds and highlights from today's game. Still has it, top of the key. Drives to her right, looks to her left. Down to 3 seconds. Look inside, Spasovsky at the buzzer, and it's going to count. Spasovsky deep on the right, puts it off the backboard for two, and Wisconsin ends the first quarter with a bucket. Here's Myers, right corner. McCray's open if they can get it to her. They do. Now to Myers. McCray sets the screen. Here's Tess. Top of the arc. Bouncing for McCray. Down low. McCray fighting her way to the rim. It's good. And a foul. First team all Big Ten selection a season ago. She's the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Two personal fouls as well. Slow first half for her. Leitzinger catch and shoot off the inbounds. And the jumper's in. Lobs inside to McCray. Kicking it back out. Porter on the right. Here's Ronnie making a move. Over to Myers. About a three on the left side. Myers splashes it down. A three-pointer from Tess Myers. And Wisconsin trails by 14 with 5:47 to go in the third. 23-point Oregon lead. Kron wide open for three. And Kron connects from the top of the key. Wisconsin's Lily Kron from deep. 54-34. 65-49, approaching a minute to play in this game. All Oregon. Here's a drive by Jimenez. Douglas just left of the wheel for three, and it's in. There you go. Some of the highlights from today's Badgers setback at Oregon. 68-52. Up next, the Badgers continue in the Pacific Northwest for a Tuesday night matchup against the Washington Huskies. We've got the pregame show starting at 7:40 with tip-off just after 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday on the Badger Sports Network. Check your local listings. For Eason D'Amelia, back in the studio in Jefferson City, I'm John Adias saying so long for Madison, Wisconsin, with the Badgers fall on the road in Eugene, Oregon, 68-52 to the Oregon Ducks. Thanks for listening to Wisconsin Women's Basketball.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
The morning show on WFHR, it's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute. That was funny. Yeah. That was at least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
I needed a minute for it to sink in.
That was funny. That was good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment
brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight, and up next we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. This week, Todd updated listeners on the tragic attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. He focuses on the disinformation spread by Fox News about the perpetrator of the attack and Fox's goal to demonize immigrants.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tala Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this first live show of 2025 here at the All Ball Show on this Thursday, January 2nd. Zummer's on the board. Taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to get to you in a bit here. This election coming up tomorrow in D.C., the House Speaker. Is Mike Johnson in trouble, and how could it affect the certification on January 6th of President-elect Donald Trump? Also, have you heard of this, Somers? Norovirus.
Yeah, I know some people who got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, knock on wood, so far not me. But we're later on in the show talking about norovirus, how to help prevent the spread of it. And if you have it, please stay home because I hear it's apparently highly contagious.
Oh, very contagious.
Yeah. So talking about that in hour two as well, our what's worse for the day involving midweek holidays. And we'll have to stay tuned for that. But right now, talking about the top serious news stories of the day. Again, according to Channel 3000 here in Madison, a kindergartner is dead after an accident involving a school bus in Waukesha County. A kindergartner died this morning after an accident involving a bus at Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex. In a letter to families, Hamilton School District Superintendent Paul Milkey said the 4K student was at SSI to get on a shuttle bus bound for Willow Springs Learning Center. The district would not share further information on the tragedy out of respect to the child's family. And here in Madison, again, according to Channel 3000, the Wisconsin Election Commission voted this morning to investigate the Madison City Clerk's Office after 193 unprocessed absentee ballots were found during a post-election audit process. The commission, made up of six members appointed by both Democrats and Republicans, argued a lack of transparency from the Madison clerk required the commission to dig into the process. Important to note, as Zomers did in hour one, that according to the Dane County officials, there would have been no difference. If all 193 unprocessed ballots had gone to one individual, would have been no difference in any outcomes, but still important to get to the bottom of this. Also talking about the top news stories yesterday, again, this terrorist attack with the president, FBI officials are calling a terrorist attack now in New Orleans, 15 now counted dead, including the shooter, the alleged shooter, at least 30 more injured, and some in critical condition. And simultaneous, well, that's not accurate. Later on in the day, this happened, this attack in New Orleans happened about 3 o'clock in the morning after things started dying down a bit on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. Later in the morning, out in Las Vegas, a Tesla truck exploded in front of the front doors of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. According to reporting now, updating, according to NBC, the driver of the Cybertruck that exploded outside Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas was a member of the elite Army Special Forces known as the Green Berets. Law enforcement today was seen outside of a home in Colorado Springs where Matthew Livelsberger apparently lived. Here is the statement from FBI in Denver. Says the Denver Field Division of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and the Colorado Springs Police Department are conducting law enforcement activities at a residential address in Colorado Springs. FBI Denver personnel and specialized teams will be on site for several hours. This activity is related to the explosion in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Due to an ongoing nature of the investigation, no further information will be provided out of the Denver FBI. What they're saying now, and again, this is in the early stages, they don't believe, officials, that this was in conjunction or coordinated with the attacker in New Orleans. This morning, FBI officials held an updated press conference saying despite early reports, including from that kind of debacle of a press conference in New Orleans yesterday, it appears this guy in New Orleans, another American citizen, acted alone, but was radicalized by the extreme Islamic group ISIS. So those are the facts. Now, here's what's interesting and also disappointing. And we talked about this a little bit earlier this week on the show. As we move now into 2025 and we're under 20 days, whatever it is, 17 days or so away from Donald Trump being sworn in for his second term of president, I think it's critical for what we're doing on this show to bring you facts, confirmed information, and then juxtapose that to help us understand a little bit of what happened back in November at the election. Because if you were watching one news source, you get a very different picture than what I just told you over the last 20 minutes or so. According to CNN, this kind of breaks it down, and I'll interject with my analysis, says an erroneous early Fox News report about New Orleans terror attack is warping the political dialogue in the aftermath of the deadly rampage. The false report from Fox, which was attributed to anonymous sources, confused the public. And the article says, and evidently President-elect Donald Trump, too. I don't think he was confused. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. The article says this misinformation is still circulating more than 24 hours later, serving as a cautionary tale about the news ecosystem as the new year begins. During the 10 a.m. hour yesterday, Fox reported that the New Orleans suspect's truck crossed the U.S. border in Eagle Pass, Texas, quote-unquote, 2 days ago. Some of the right-wing network's coverage explicitly said the suspect drove across the border, leaving viewers with the impression that a foreigner might be responsible for the deadly carnage. In fact, as we said, the New Orleans attack suspect was a United States citizen born here and an Army veteran. But those facts were not publicly established at the time Fox aired the faulty information. 8 minutes after the first Fox segment that mentioned the border, President-elect Donald Trump issued a statement about quote-unquote criminals coming in, unquote, from other countries. While Trump did not mention Fox directly, he is known to be an avid consumer of the cable network and has tapped several of his personalities for his incoming cabinet. Some of Trump's family members and political allies also immediately connected the attack to quote-unquote illegal immigration, as cited by Fox. Here's what Don Jr. wrote, quote, Biden's parting gift to America, migrant terrorists, unquote. Sharing the Fox claim on X, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican in Congress, exclaimed, quote, shut the border down, unquote. Now, Fox tried to walk back the incorrect report about an hour and a half later. The network said the truck used in the attack was actually in Eagle Pass nearly 2 months ago, not 2 days ago. More importantly, the truck was being driven by someone else at the time. It was available on the car rental app Turo. So the details about the border were completely irrelevant. As we said at the top of the show, this app Turo, who I've not heard of before this and never used, apparently, and this might be part, may be part of the terrorist thinking, alleged terrorists, that unlike when you go to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, they take all your, you know, everything but a DNA sample, basically. So if you cause any damage, it's easy to know who you are and who rented that vehicle. Apparently, Turo is kind of sort of like an Airbnb where, hey, this is the name I'm giving you. I give you a credit card, never meet you, and I pick up the thing, and that's it. A lot less detailed order to get. So someone else had this truck in Texas, allegedly, completely unrelated to what happened yesterday. But Fox News conveniently left that out. According back to this article on CNN, but the damage was already done. References to Eagle Pass continued to spread across social media. Fox continued to stream a clip on its website of the incorrect information. Quote, some Republicans continued to beat the border drum well after Fox News retracted its initial report, unquote, according to the Daily Beast's Josh Faleo. Ironically, Trump's original statement used the New Orleans attack to say that he was right and the quote-unquote fake news media was wrong about the threat posed by illegal immigration. If he had waited a couple of hours to react, he would have learned that the suspect, as we said, was indeed a U.S. citizen. A Fox News spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment about the misreporting. And again, unfortunately, key word and stress on unfortunately, this is a good opportunity in terms of having a real life example. And then look, it's fair for listeners, this program or other times. And this is one of my goals for 2025, be more intentional. Make sure I'm giving you facts. Make sure I'm giving you examples of what I'm talking about. So it's one thing for me to say, well, you know, Donald Trump always exaggerates, or, you know, Fox News are a bunch of liars. It's better for me to do what I just did. Give you factual information of what really happened and a clear example of what Donald Trump and the right-wing media did. And now we start to really get down, as Judge Weitzman says, where the chickens can get at it. Look at this one example. Now, amplify that across months of the 2024 election. And I truly believe that that may have been the largest reason that Donald Trump got reelected. Is you have otherwise rational and decent people in our communities, our friends and our neighbors, who we go to church with, we play golf with, we sit next to in church pews. And they go home and they watch a very specific form of media, Fox News being the big one. And they trust, well, it can't be on TV. They can't say it unless it's true. Because a lot of those folks still live in the Walter Cronkite era in their mind in terms of, well, media like that's not going to lie. And so they believe it to be the truth. And you get a steady diet of that for weeks and months. And then you go into the voting booth and you vote according to what you believe to be the truth. And that's why I'm taking it up as a critical mission for our show in 2025 to really lean into what we say every day, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And just like the other story there in Madison, look, I mean, if it's I'm a former Republican who's not a card-carrying member of any organization, any political organization right now. So I don't care whether it embarrasses Democrats or Republicans. I just want the truth out there because you deserve that. We deserve that. And I believe that if we're given the truth, as Lincoln said, we'll make good choices. So I think it's a good example, a very fortunate, sad, tragic example, but a good example of how we can see what's true and what's not true. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And as we say, we're going to have some fun along the way as well. In hour two, we'll ask the question, what's worse? Midweek holidays or... Are you a fan of midweek holidays, Albers?
I mean, I'll take it over not having it.
It kind of messes up the equilibrium a little bit for me.
Very much so, yes.
But we'll talk about that a little bit before we come back. Also, want to get this in on the other side. Big election. No, we're not involved in it directly. Big election tomorrow in Washington, D.C. for House Speaker. Mike Johnson's allies warning that a speakership battle could delay Donald Trump's victory celebration. What? It could happen. I mean, these days you never know. We'll come back, explain, take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday. See, midweek vacation.
Midweek holidays.
We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your...
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Maggie Dawn Show, minus Maggie. Filling in is guest host Dan Schaefer, along with Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing and Communities and Law Forward's Jeff Mandel. They discuss Act 10 and the complexities in repealing the 2011 law.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. I'm Dan Schaefer, here with Angela Lang, who is co-hosting with me live from Racine, Wisconsin. And we are joined as well for this half hour of the show by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. Jeff, thanks again for joining us.
Dan, I owed you a question. You asked me a second question, though, about whether this was going to stick.
That's right. So, yeah. Okay, just to reset for people who might just be joining us after the break here, we're talking about Act 10 and Jeff's piece on why what the ruling means and the recent decision to strike down Act 10. And one of the things that I was asking Jeff about was whether this time will be different from previous legal challenges. And because I'm cynical when it comes to these things.
Me too.
This will, you know, this news will hit the feed. Act 10 is struck down. It's like, all right, well, it's going to get overturned eventually.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. But as Jeff, you described in our last segment, why this is different. And so could you help us understand why this next step in the process might be different as well?
Sure. So so we talked about the theory here and trying to make sure that when the legislature draws a line and treats people differently, it draws that line. It does so on the straight and narrow. It does so honestly. And that's not what happened here in Act 10. So the next step is shortly before Christmas, the trial court here in Dane County issued a final order, and the legislature has appealed, has taken this case up on appeal. So,
which was expected, right?
Entirely as expected. The court has is entertaining a question about whether it should keep Act 10 in place while the appeal is going forward. That is, in an effort to make sure there's not some kind of whiplash in the state where collective bargaining is allowed again.
Sure.
And then maybe an appeals court takes it away. Should the court just say, hey, let's hold everything steady and see what happens? And there's briefing happening on that while the appellate briefing is also moving forward. So we'll know more. In the meantime, the court has told everybody just to hang on, no collective bargaining until it decides that stay question. And we're going to go forward and we're going to have the we're going to have an appeal. It is very difficult, of course, to predict what an appellate court is going to do. But what I can tell you is, and tell the listeners, is that our legal theory is quite clear. It is simple and easy to understand. And it is based on decades of established precedent in Wisconsin of how the equal protection guarantee in the Wisconsin Constitution works. So while I can't promise that this will definitely stick, what I can say is this is not novel. This is not some kind of fancy hide the ball, you know, magic trick. This is a really basic nuts and bolts legal case. And it is my belief that that it should be affirmed on appeal. We'll see what happens. We'll see exactly who's on the courts and who gets to decide. But judges who are looking at this based on precedent and caring about what the law is are going to come to the same conclusion that Judge Frost came to, that Act 10, as it was written, is not constitutional in Wisconsin.
We're joined here by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward, who is talking about
The recent piece that he wrote at the Recombobulation Area on Act 10 about the likelihood of this, this ruling from Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost, who on December 2nd declared core provisions of the 2011 Wisconsin Act 10 law unconstitutional. So is this likely to be headed towards the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Jeff?
Oh, I think this is almost certainly going to wind up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Exactly what the timing on that is and things sort of remains to be seen. There's all kinds of lawyers games that are going to get played out over the next couple of months.
There's always lawyers games. No matter what, there's always going to be some lawyer games going on.
Yeah, there's a reason people hate lawyers.
Lawyers are great.
But after the lawyer games, what's next? Is this headed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? And what do you expect like a timing on that to be?
Yeah.
Because I think that's obviously critical.
Yeah. And it's really hard to say. It's partially going to depend on what happens with the stay. If the stay is granted and there's no collective bargaining, that makes it all the more important that the Supreme Court hear the case sooner rather than later, because public sector workers in Wisconsin have already been deprived of their rights for 13 years. And if they're going to continue to be deprived of their rights while the case moves forward, then we need to get to the end so that one way or the other, we've got resolution. How exactly that works? I mean, I think there is still time. If the Supreme Court wants to hear the case this term, right? The Supreme Court works in terms and it decides it hears all the cases by mid-May or so, and it decides them all by around the 4th of July or so, and then it picks up again right after Labor Day the next year. So if the court wants to decide the case this term, there is still ample time for that to happen. We've certainly rushed cases through faster than that.
Let's get to work, Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yeah.
Again, it's hard to tell. There are a lot of things that different lawyers and parties have to do, and there are lots of things that different judges are going to get to decide in the next few weeks that'll help to illuminate what's going to happen and what kind of time frame we're on.
Yeah. And just to take a step back and recombobulate on a couple of the topics that we've been talking about here, Angela wrote a piece called Where Do We Go From Here? And you're talking about this piece on Act 10. I think one of the things in our immediate future is just where we're going to go from here in Wisconsin is we're going to have an election here on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yep.
I know. Yep.
Yep. Yay.
We're going to have an election here in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to impact cases like this very one.
Yeah.
Maybe not this exact case. Like Jeff said, there's a lot of uncertainty. All of the legal Calvin ball that always seems to happen with all of this. But I think I'm just trying to connect these two things. Where do we go from here? And what do we understand about this? Well, one of the things that where we can go from here is to get involved in this Wisconsin Supreme Court race and having a pro-democracy majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and maintaining that on cases like gerrymandering, like Act 10, like a lot of the work that you folks, good folks, do with Law Forward as well.
Well, it really couldn't be more important to have a court that cares about democracy and cares about the rule of law here in Wisconsin. And I do, for those listeners who are exhausted, and this goes to Angela's piece today, who are exhausted by hearing every single election in Wisconsin is the election of our lifetimes. It's the most important election in our state. What I can say is that if we protect a pro-democracy and protect a pro-democracy majority on the court this year in 2025, then the next two elections will not be existential for control of the court. And we will have a period where not every election in Wisconsin is the most important ever.
That's a great point, Jeff.
Thanks for your work, Jeff.
Thank you so much. We're headed to break now. Stick with us here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. when stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace.
A ceremony honoring former President Jimmy Carter at his presidential library in Atlanta just ended. His flag-draped casket arrived there after a four-hour trip from his hometown of Plains, Georgia, where the procession stopped in front of his childhood home. The president's son, Chip Carter, remembered his father during the ceremony.
He was an amazing man, and he was held up and propped up and soothed by an amazing woman. And the two of them together changed the world. And it was an amazing thing to watch from so close and to be able to be involved in.
Carter will lie in repose at the center until Tuesday morning. The family of a 19-year-old Israeli hostage is calling on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to free her. The BBC's